At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views, the cool waterfall mist during a hot hike, and the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
I got up really, really early this morning to appear on Monica Adams' show. She does it on several platforms, on YouTube, on the X, formerly Twitter, on Facebook, and she does a daily show, and she invited me to come on and talk about mental health and the challenges that I've had over the course of this summer. I've talked about it a little bit here on the show, but I don't want to overdo it. But if you are interested in that conversation, that's pretty much the sole focus, which took place at 7:15 this morning. I put it on the top of my Twitter feed. So if you go to at Mark Reardon KFTK, you can link to it. I also put it on my Facebook page. So if you're interested in that, I'm getting good feedback from listeners, and it was great share the story. And I felt good about sharing the story as well, which is, you kind of never know. You know, because I've talked about this in these terms. You know that over the course of my last 11 years, because I experienced some of this with anxiety in 2013 and 2014, I've spoken very candidly about it. I remember, like, when Simone Biles was going through issues, I was very empathetic to that because of my mental health struggles. But I've never really talked about it, like, in the moment when it was happening, right? Until now. Although now I'm, you know, like, a million times better than I was even just a few weeks ago. But that conversation is up there, and it's living on the World Wide Web if you want to check it out. Of course, one of the big stories yesterday was President Trump. Our own Will Scharf, we say our own, he's a Missouri guy. He's the executive order guy, having the president, you know, put something other than the auto pen to the executive orders. And one of the ones that got the most attention yesterday was on flag burning.
When you burn the American flag, it incites riots at levels that we've never seen before. People go crazy. In a way, both ways. There are some that are going crazy for doing it. There are others that are angry about them doing it. And what the penalty is going to be, if you burn a flag, you get 1 year in jail, no early exits, no nothing.
So it might be an uncomfortable and unpopular position, but I have forever, I don't ever remember being someone who was against flag burning. Now, let me put that into context. I think it's despicable. I think it's reprehensible, but I do think that it is a First Amendment free speech issue. We're going to find out from our expert whether or not I'm correct on that, and whether or not I think this executive order is a bit nuanced on that issue. Ilya Shapiro, senior fellow and director of constitutional studies at the Manhattan Institute, is back with us. Hello, Ilya. How are you this afternoon? Oh, I didn't press you in, did I? There we go. The host forgot to press the button.
I'm doing all right, Mark. I heard what you said. I'm on my annual tour of South Carolina, where I talk to them about what happened at the court last year and what's going on next year and all the cities here. But look, I don't think this is the president trying to unilaterally overturn the Supreme Court opinion where famously Justice Scalia said, "I'm not a king. Mm-hmm. I hate flag burning. I would outlaw it, but it's protected by the First Amendment." He's not trying to overturn that case, or even, as some have suggested, set up a test case to push the Supreme Court to overturn it. I think it's both more and less than that. That is, it's a political messaging thing. It's a wedge issue, daring his opponents, daring Democrats to burn flags or attack him for protecting the flag. It's a winning political issue. But also, the way that it's written, it's not simply like what he just said, what you just played, that flag burning is now a federal crime where it wasn't before. The way that the executive order is written, it looks at, is there an incitement of violence? And there's yes. Supreme Court jurisprudence about what that means. Is it something next to federal facilities? Is it endangering federal officers? There tries to be jurisdictional hooks here. Now, that doesn't necessarily get the administration out of the woods. So, for example, if two people who are committing the same crime, one of whom is charged only because of that person's viewpoint, in this case, the viewpoint of burning the flag, that can be problematic. We saw that during the Black Lives Matter riots, when people who were chalking Black preborn lives matter were arrested and everyone else was not. And they were let off because that was selective prosecution. But again, this is a political messaging thing and also tries to get the federal jurisdictional hooks to the largest extent possible.
Yeah, and I agree with that. The way that I explained this in my non-lawyer speak, you see if this matches up a little bit, it didn't sound to me when reading through the order or hearing Will describe it yesterday that he's saying if you go out tonight and you're on your front porch and you burn the flag in your yard that you're going to be spending a year in jail. But if you do something along those lines and there's an incitement to violence, that then, and we know that there are limits to free speech. We've, you know, the most famous one would be yelling fire in a crowded theater, right? So is this sort of nuanced along those lines? Lines where if you burn a flag, you're probably going to still have free speech, you know, rights to fall back on. However, if it takes it to the next level with incitement of violence, then we're talking about something different.
It also depends, because simply inciting violence doesn't necessarily become a federal crime either. There has to be a further federal nexus of some kind. And just to correct you, yelling fire in a crowded theater, this is one of the biggest misnomers in constitutional
law. Okay, good.
Law.
Yes, correct me. Yes.
That's not necessarily illegal or unprotected speech. For example, if there actually is a fire in a crowded theater, you can yell fire without problem. If you're the only person or there's very few people in, well, that wouldn't be a crowded theater at that point. But in any event, it's not simply the case that yelling fire in a crowded theater is necessarily unprotected speech. There's lots of other nuance on that.
In this case from 1989, Texas versus Johnson, this had to do with a guy who set fire to a flag outside of the RNC, outside of the convention in Dallas. And there was a demonstration against Republican policies. And he was sentenced to a year in prison and fined $2,000 for violating that Texas law against desecration of a venerated object. So how in these, you know, this era, if you will, in 2025, if a case like that comes before the Supreme Court, is there a different answer?
It really is going to be very fact specific. There could be property damage involved. Like, let's say it's a flag on a federal flagpole that you tear down and burn. That's property damage and vandalism. Mm-hmm. Let's say that you burn the flag on the courthouse steps and do some damage to the marble there. Again, property damage. So they're trying to use those kinds of hooks and just set priorities for federal prosecutors.
But you don't really think then there is something where they're going to be searching out for a case to bring it something that has, you know, standing, as we say, as you lawyers say, to bring it to the court to get Texas versus Johnson overturned. You don't think that that's part of the playbook here?
It could be that they're daring their political opposition to try it.
Yeah.
Have Zohran Mamdani, the leading candidate for mayor of New York, you know, burn a flag on City Hall or something like that. Have him arrested, and you know, Trump would love to have that kind of fight. But I don't think it's necessarily that they're trying to use this to incite a test case to have the Supreme Court overturn Texas v. Johnson.
Ilya Shapiro is here, senior fellow and director of constitutional studies at the Manhattan Institute. Yesterday I had a guest coming on here and we talked about this case that I think you've written an amicus brief for Foote versus Ludlow School Committee. And this deals with a case in Massachusetts where the parents were kind of, you know, overlooked when it came to sharing the gender identity of their own children, right? So explain this case, what it's all about and how you got involved here, Ilya.
There have been a spate of these cases all across the country in the last few years as school districts have gone crazy in the face of radical gender ideology, to the point where, as you say, they have policies to hide students' gender identity or transitions from their parents, all sorts of things that the challengers in these various lawsuits say violate parental rights, is a violation of certain duties by the school board, things like that. This Foote case out of Massachusetts is the first one to get to the Supreme Court steps. It hasn't been accepted for argument. It's at a cert petition stage. And I filed a brief supporting this case, as I did on appeal below and in other cases across the country. And the briefs that I've been filing with my colleagues John Ketchum and Lior Sapir talk about how social transitioning is a medical intervention in and of itself. It has psychological effect, and it's not justified. Studies show that that we're debating the science here, and all of this is falling apart in various contexts. And so, what the school districts are doing is quite serious. So we're not so much arguing the law, but providing this scientific background.
Some of this stuff that was on even the X formerly Twitter today, there was somebody who was posting something from a seventh grade class, Gunston Middle School in Arlington, Virginia. And on the first day of school, there's a questionnaire that says, class period, you have this particular teacher, third period. What is your name as it appears in Power School? Name you want me to call you in class. May I use your class name when I contact caregivers? May I use pronouns when I contact caregivers? May I use these pronouns with other teachers, including substitutes? If you answered no to any of the above, which pronouns should I use instead? That is a seventh grade class. I have a daughter who just started fifth grade. We're only a couple years away from that. That seems wildly inappropriate for the first day of seventh grade to me.
And I think it goes against Glenn Youngkin's executive order to that effect, as well as certain other policies that have been put in place by the State Board of Education. So I think that's ripe for a lawsuit.
Yeah, what is it about Virginia? Like in Loudoun County, we had this other case where these kids, you know, who are boys, and they have a biological girl in their restroom, and the girl's the one that's actually filming them using her phone, which is illegal, but she's not the one that gets in trouble. It's the boys who are questioning, hey, why is there a girl in our locker room? I mean, things in Loudoun County are regularly turned upside down, aren't they?
And then there's a further beat to that, in that there were three boys involved. Two of them were punished, and one was let off because he was Muslim. All sorts of constitutional violations. All sorts of constitutional violations, without even getting to any of the trans stuff.
Wow.
I'm just happy that I'm in Falls Church City, Virginia, which is just as blue, perhaps bluer than these other places. But this is all rich people who don't want their kids to endure shenanigans, and so they pay for the high quality education and stuff like that, so they don't have to be subject to Fairfax and Loudoun and Arlington counties.
What is your messaging in South Carolina? You say you're doing like a little preview of this upcoming session?
Review. Yep.
Yep. Well, that's what we do on a regular basis here on this show. We appreciate your contributions. Thank you, Ilya. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care, Mark.
Yep, take care. That's Ilya Shapiro, who is with the Manhattan Institute. I wanted to spend a little bit of time here, and I have to thank Megyn Kelly because she did this on her podcast. And some of this, I think, will resonate with you, the listener. And Sue, I think you'll remember this from last week, because there were some moments where we're going to talk about Abby Phillips and what happens on CNN with Scott Jennings and some of the guests. Remember when we had Jillian Michaels' audio from last week? I should have probably had Ethan pull that. So Jillian Michaels is not necessarily known for her political takes, I don't think, but she was on one of the panels on CNN, and she was talking about some of the Smithsonian changes that have occurred in the past, and the way that President Trump and his administration are trying to go in and maybe correct some of the hatred against our own country. So everything at the Smithsonian is framed around race and how bad and how evil this country is as oppressors. And this administration wants to say, and I think it's legitimate, hey, we're about to celebrate the 250th anniversary of our great nation that, you know, everyone looks up to, and millions of people want to stream across the border to become non-citizens, I guess, but to take part in the freedoms that we enjoy and probably and likely take for granted on a regular basis. Now, when I've asked Scott Jennings about this in the past, both publicly and privately, I don't think I'm, you know, giving anything away here. He will very confidently say, because he knows that there are people working behind the scenes that don't like him, people at CNN that can't stand what he represents. But Abby Phillips is the host of the show, and they seemingly get along pretty well. The take on Megyn Kelly's podcast from this week is that Abby is trying to do a little bit of an end run herself and trying to put the kibosh on what some of Jennings says. Now, some of it might be because, you know, she's on this left-leaning podcast being asked some of the questions, but here's Megyn talking about this.
Abby Phillip has this, I mean, literally nobody's watching that show. I think it's just us four, just pulling clips. We pulled the ratings. They are dreadful. My God, they're so bad. All of CNN is going away. Trust me, I looked at the numbers today. But in any event, she's there hanging on like the rest of them. And the only thing that's good about her show is sometimes she puts on Scott Jennings and it's fun to watch him fight. And then she had Jillian Michaels on the other day. And Jillian Michaels raised this issue about the Smithsonian. Well, what does Abby Phillip do? She decides to go on an even more terrible person's podcast, Kara Swisher. And she decides to sh** all over her guests when speaking to Kara Swisher. These are the people who right. make the show tolerable for some small faction of Republicans.
Now, I think people certainly are even disadvantaged right here, and I could probably have Ethan pull this audio, but what Jillian Michaels was trying to say on that set, and she was pressed several times, made a whole lot of sense to me. She wasn't trying to say that slavery didn't exist or that slavery wasn't a terrible scar on our nation's history. What she was trying to say is that not every little thing in every part of American history should be framed around the evil oppressors, the white man, right? And I think she effectively communicated that. But here's Abby Phillip talking about this on this other podcast.
And then when it became clear that she was trying to sort of downplay slavery, I was just like shocked. Like, are you really going to do this on national television, giving her an opportunity to not do it? But she continued on. And then later on, she said that she got this list of talking points from the White House about exhibits that they wanted to dispute. And frankly, it was pretty ignorant. I don't like to talk about negatively about guests who come on the show because I just don't think that's good form. Even when I disagree with people, I respect their right to embarrass themselves on national television. I think it is their right to
you
do
respect
that.
Respect their right.
So you heard Megyn in the background there. That's Mark Halperin. And then Sean Spicer was on this particular edition as well. So here in God Bless Ethan Hannaford, our great producer, here's what Jillian was saying last week.
He's gone into the Smithsonian. He's effectively now has some random person deciding what is appropriate for the Smithsonian to teach in terms of American history, things that don't offend parts of the MAGA base, right? So we're now literally reviewing parts of American history and parts of American culture to make sure it comports with Dear Leader and what the MAGA organization
can we address
wants.
Totally false, right? So this is where Jillian Michaels starts to get involved here and say, look, that is just not what's happening.
Things that are in there? Because have you looked at some of the things that are being
slavery,
reviewed?
Yeah, slavery was a bad thing that we should talk about.
Okay.
Like, he forgave
he's
me for
He's not whitewashing
that.
Slavery. So
he's not?
He's not. No,
okay.
He's not. And you cannot tie imperialism and racism and slavery to just one race, which is pretty much what every single exhibit does. But let's talk about the fact that when you look
at slavery, slavery in America was
a system of white supremacy. Only less than 2% of white Americans owned slaves.
But it was a system of white supremacy.
You realize that slavery is thousands of years old?
White people were
Do you know who was the first race to try to end slavery? Well, what's controversial?
So they start shouting at each other at the end. Jennings was on that panel as well that night, and I thought Jillian Phillips actually surprised me. Because her take, was she the most eloquently spoken on the panel? No, but let me
That's
tell you
not
something.
Her job,
I watch Abby Phillip and her panel, a bunch of idiots like Julie Roginski and others that Jennings has to call out on a regular basis. Now, here's what I find interesting, and I have not spoken to Scott about this, but on this same podcast, she kind of goes after Jennings a little bit too here. Listen to this.
Bringing people on to say crazy things. Let's be frank about that. That is never the intention, okay? People's decisions to say crazy things are never expected or predictable. However, I mean, and I know that folks really dislike Scott for his views.
I love this part because, you know, again, I think these two get along. I know he doesn't get along with everyone, but it is Abby's segment. But it's hilarious to hear her talking about crazy things that Scott Jennings might say when she has the most bat blank lefties on her panel that are constantly just eaten alive and smoked by Jennings on a regular basis. But she has to kind of go after him.
But I would say that, you know, there are views that you don't like that you think are unfounded, but that are pretty widely shared. And I think Scott falls into that category. Now, there are definitely times, if you watch the show, that we have conversations where I will say to Scott and others, just stop. Because we're not playing whatever game it is that you want to play in this moment.
Okay, whatever. You just stop. She does say things like that all the time. But, you know, one of the better examples I have from the last week is they are so hungry for moments that they can plaster up on social media, on Instagram and on Twitter and, you know, the Chinese one that TikTok, almost forgot the name of that. And they just can't do it. I referenced this earlier. So you have this guy who's being arrested by ICE a week ago. I think it was like a week ago today or a week ago tomorrow. And there's a reporter from Channel 4 in D.C. and she's out there doing a different story, but she gets all of this on her camera. I don't know if it was an iPhone or if she had a photographer with her. And then she starts shouting out questions at the end. This guy's just screaming, I just want my family. You know, I'm trying to be a better person. All these things screaming in agony. I mean, this guy's going on and on and on. And then when you do a little research, so this starts getting millions of hits with this particular person. You have Jessica Tarloff, who is on The Five on Fox, who is one of the, you know, the moderate lefties, if you will. I don't think she's as crazy as a lot of them. She goes out there and criticizes it and says something along the lines of, well, cruelty is always the, you know, the point here. Are you kidding me? So then we find out that the guy not only had three orders to, you know, remove himself from the country, and at one point did and came back, but he also has a felony charge for endangering the life of a minor under the age of 13 years old. It looks like it's sexual. So Jessica Tarloff has to go on there and apologize. So I'd love to know what Abby Phillips' definition of crazy and crazy talk is, because that's the crazy stuff that the only person exposing it on her show is Scott Jennings.
Got it, Sean. So she needs to apologize for Scott Jennings, because she's heard CNN's audience is overwhelmingly left, that people don't like him and he says crazy things. And, you know, he's such a lunatic, it's worthwhile airing those views because they belong to MAGA.
I think CNN should have taken the whole Scott Jennings thing a step further. I really do. I would love to see what the ratings were. So he has a radio show now. We started airing it last night here on 97.1 FM Talk. You'll hear it tonight at 8 o'clock. He just does an hour on the Salem Network. I think, and I thought maybe they were going to do this, I think they should have given him the damn show at 10 o'clock at night and see what he can do with that show. I wonder what because the ratings, Megyn Kelly's point is right. The ratings are awful. They're just terrible. Jennings, it has been deemed, spikes the ratings a little bit.
Well,
but
yeah,
let's say you do something completely different. Oh, they'd freak out Wolf and, you know, Dana Bash and all this. Let's give him the show. He runs the show. He doesn't say stupid crap like Abby Phillip. Then let's...
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too. At Maurices, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real-life moments. Maurices.
See what the... All right, audio cut of the day coming up here before the end of the hour. We're also going to visit with our friend George Rosenthal from ThrottleNet. We had a great conversation with George, I think, about a week ago, and one of the issues that was on my list to discuss with him was about Blue Sky. And there are interesting aspects of that social media platform compared to the X, formerly Twitter or Instagram. And George started telling us about that, but then we ran out of time. And the other question I want to ask him is about how we are taking a stake in the U.S. government of Intel. So he's coming up here in just a couple of minutes. But I have to point this out because it's kind of funny when you think about it. My daughter is sick right now. That's not the funny part of this. She has some sinus stuff going on. She's been sick for like a week, so we took her to urgent care, her doctor today, and it's just a sinus infection. So they are preparing some antibiotics as we speak that I'm going to pick up after the show. But, you know, there was a pause that I was given. I thought, uh-oh, whoa, what if she has COVID, right? Because people still get COVID. And then I open up the LA Times website this morning. And one of the, for a while, this was, you know, if you go to a website, you'll see the main story. We used to say when we would get real newspapers, it would be above the fold, right? Whatever the lead story would be. Right. So this was whatever you would describe as above the fold on a website. And the headline was COVID rising fast in California, fueled by new Stratus variant tied to Omicron. Now, here's what I remember. I remember pointing out last August, I remember it was last August, that they were doing stories in the LA Times about COVID. And I thought, really? You're going to do a story on COVID? So I actually took the time to read this. And it says, COVID-19 is once again climbing to troubling levels in California. I feel like I have to have this, right? A worrying trend as health officials attempt to navigate a vaccine landscape thrown into uncertainty by delays and decisions from the Trump administration. Public health departments, Sue, in Los Angeles and Santa Clara counties have reported jumps in the coronavirus concentrations detected in wastewater in recent weeks. LA County has also reported a small increase in patients hospitalized with COVID. And they have a doctor that is quoted, Dr. Peter Chin Hong, who's an infectious disease expert in San Francisco, saying there is a lot of COVID out there. COVID is coming a little bit later than last year. But when you dig into the story and you have to go down several paragraphs, you will find that it's not really a big deal at all. In fact, there are fewer people in the hospital for COVID than there were last summer. Okay. It says COVID season has been less intense than last year. In LA County, for instance, you got to go way down on this. Current COVID hospitalizations for the week that ended August 16th are about half the level seen during the same week last year. And in Orange County, emergency room visits related to COVID-like illnesses are less than half of what they were last summer. So let's go back to the headline of the story, right? COVID rising fast in California, fueled by new Stratus variant. I get the fact that we're all trying to get clicks and we want people to listen and we want people to watch. But that headline is exactly the opposite of what the reality is with COVID. The headline should be COVID cases far less than last summer. Who cares what's happening in the wastewater and how this is increasing? But they got to have someone on the COVID beat at the LA Times on the front page of the website. Because let's face it, people aren't going to, you know how this is, people are going to share that story. Yeah. All the mask up folks out there say, oh, look what's happening. Better mask up again. COVID's there, right? Be careful. And then you read the story, not a big deal at all.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere.
Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAFGiving 360's donor advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too.
At Maurices, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried-and-true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real-life moments. Maurices.
It may have been last week we had George Rosenthal on from ThrottleNet. So we never seem to have enough time with George. And
true.
Actually, one of the topics that we were primarily supposed to talk to him about, we kind of saved for the end and then we ran out of time. So I wanted to revisit that. But in an effort to maybe bury that topic again, as I welcome George into the show, I want to talk about the government buying a stake in Intel as well. Hi, George. How are you this afternoon?
Good. So good to talk to you guys again.
Before we get to Blue Sky, can you what would you say about the whole Intel deal? I haven't really dug into this and what this is all about.
Well, I mean, it's all based on the fact that most of the chips that we use for every single thing in our lives now is made in Taiwan. And that's a very scary thing if Taiwan's supply ever goes away, if China ever takes over. Here we are stuck with maybe a couple to three manufacturers in the United States that can make microchips, which is a serious problem, considering everything you do from a hearing aid to you know what is made with microchips. So it's important that we do bring back manufacturing of microchips and really extremely powerful ones for AI back to the United States. And then what they're doing here is they took a grant, two grants. One of them is $5.7 billion for the CHIPS Act, which is meant for microchips. So it was actually meant for this. It gets a little hairy here in a second, but they took a total of $8.9 billion in grants and then purchased 10% of the company Intel. Now, in order for Intel, you know, they've been struggling a lot. And so for them to really get back on their feet to the capabilities of NVIDIA and all the other microchip manufacturers in Taiwan, it's going to need another $20 billion in investment in order to get to their, that, you know, the level that they need to be at. But, you know, this is the government saying, hey, here's the grants we put out there for people to use. But instead of waiting for these grants to get divvied up, we're just going to go ahead and put $8.9 billion into one company to really boost and kind of give a thrust behind it to get this thing started so we can start manufacturing extremely powerful chips here in the United States.
But I guess the other part of this that was of interest is that they're the way that they just, you know, I'm always, you know, suspicious of the legacy media. But in the New York Times, they said Mr. Trump also extracted a pledge from chip makers, including NVIDIA, to give the government 15% of their revenue from selling powerful computer chips to China, an idea that lawyers in the Commerce Department are trying to figure out how to legally carry out. But it sounds like a good deal, right?
It does. It does. And I know that the goal behind all of that is to keep China from getting the most powerful AI chips that are out there. And right now, NVIDIA is the manufacturer of those. So that's why they're doing that, is to say, look, we're going to take 15% of the deal if you're going to start selling these big chips to China, in hopes that it will sway them to keep it here in the United States and sell them here in the United States. I mean, Apple, all of the Apple chips are made in Taiwan. So something's going to, we have to get chip manufacturing back. Now, the other critics will say, you know, the government shouldn't be taking over a 10% share of a publicly held company,
right,
because that
right.
can cause all kinds of slippery slope issues of government taking over companies later on. So that's the, you know, that's kind of the problem here. But the main crux of the issue is solving the national security problem of making sure we can manufacture our own microchips and not have 5,000 Ford F-150s stuck in the desert because there was a chip shortage back during COVID. So those are things that we never want to see, and it could hinder national security when it comes to defense.
Understandably sure. So. Okay, that makes sense. All right, so let's talk about Blue Sky here just a little bit. When we started talking about this a week ago or a couple of weeks ago, I feel like I was early in on Twitter when I found out about it. It was 2008 when I joined Twitter. We had a St. Louis guy, Jack Dorsey, who is the co-founder of that. I certainly have been on Facebook for a while. I don't do a lot on Facebook outside of pictures of the bunny and my grandson. And then I did post the interview that I did with Monica Adams this morning on my Facebook page. But I've always been intimidated to go into other social media. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, and X, formerly Twitter. So I hear about some of these other things. I get worried about it because how do you build up your followers and et cetera, et cetera. But you were saying that Blue Sky is a little different because there's a way to transfer the followers that you have from other platforms?
So this is something I was misunderstanding. Right now, that the tool is not built in natively into the app. There are one thing that Blue Sky is unique in that their protocol that they built the system on, the thing that the core of what runs it is called the AT protocol. And the AT protocol is an open sourced protocol. So what that means is third party developers can build tools that you can then install and use on your account within Blue Sky. So it is going to drastically change social media, but the main goal of their protocol is to make sure that posts that you make on Blue Sky are open sourced and can go across platforms, so you're not having to make the same post all over the place. And the same posts that are on Facebook, Insta, and so forth can also be transferred back to your Blue Sky account. As far as the followers go, it's very hard, and I thought it was very easy when I did a lot of research on it.
Not
I
as
found
easy.
That it's very hard to bring your followers over, but all of the other users that you are following are very easy to bring over using an extension through Google Chrome. That's called Sky Follower Bridge.
Right, but that doesn't really solve the problem. That's why I'm always, you know,
I never
went to Truth Social. And, you know, when I hear about some of these other formats, it's difficult to see how you would build momentum with followers and get the appeal that you would have on the platform you already have followers. For example, like one of the things that I hear you describing is when I do like Instagram stories because
right.
I'll put up something, a video from maybe one of the animals or something that we're doing here in the studio. George Gray was here last week. There was a post that I used. But when you do that, you know, there's a button you can press so it goes to Facebook's version of stories as well. Or I think you can do the same thing even on an Instagram post. You can make sure that it is posted on Facebook. So, you know, you want as much ease of use as possible. But my point, I guess, on Blue Sky is, do I really need another, you know, application like this? I guess a lot of people drift over to it because they didn't like the politics of Elon or something like that. Isn't that
what
kind of spurred interest?
Well, here's the thing. So it's such a competitive atmosphere that they're trying every little thing to get you to come over. One of the things that they've really done, actually really well, is the ability for you to change the way that your feed is. So when you're scrolling through your wall there and you're looking at all the different posts of the people you follow, or you get stupid ads that pop up all the time, they have removed that. So right now there are no more ads as of February of 24. And while you're scrolling through, if you don't like the way the feed is, you can actually go and change the algorithm yourself very, very simply and change what feed you have. They also, you know how with X you have to do this validated user thing where you get the blue badge and you have to pay some money to validate that it's really you and
right.
not a bot?
Yeah.
They have made it so that you can have a domain name. So let's say you have a company, a .com address, or maybe you have a personal website. You can tie that to your user account at Blue Sky to verify that you're really you and not a bot. They're trying all these other things, you know, from, you know, direct messaging, of course, being able to post videos 3 minutes or more. They're trying to be as competitive as they can. I think the biggest thing that's going to end up coming from this is the AT protocol. And an interesting thing will be was do the other social media platforms allow cross-platform posts, meaning I can make one post and send it to Blue Sky, and it goes everywhere. Remember, Facebook owns Instagram. So if you do anything on Instagram, it's easy to go back and repost it to Facebook. But again, I do agree with you 100%. The hardest part of all of it is the followers. You spend all that, you know, maybe it's money advertising if you're a business. You spend all that time getting good content. You build up your follower base. And now you see a greener grass on the other side with a new product. And you lose years worth of work. So that is something everybody's going to have to overcome. But if you're worried about losing the people you follow within X, that's something you can bring straight over to Blue Sky. And it's the actual following people that you're, you know, the content that shows up on your wall.
George, can I share some breaking news with you that I'm sure that you're going to be enthralled with? And Sue, I telegraphed this a little earlier in the show. It was funny because I heard Marcus Lemonis on Fox earlier today, you know, talking about this Cracker Barrel thing. I'm still fascinated by the whole Cracker Barrel and how this became an issue because it seems like it's way overdone. But what he predicted, remember, Sue, I said this, he predicted that they would do a flip and go back to the old logo.
Yeah.
That just happened.
Seriously?
Yes. Yes, they have gone back. The story is breaking all over Blue Sky and Twitter and whatever else right now. Cracker Barrel has listened to President Trump's suggestion. They switch back to their original logo, which, by the way, if this was the plan all along, brilliant marketing. Maybe that's what it was, because I've said this, there's been more discussion of Cracker Barrel on the planet than ever in the world's history. So I guess I didn't, you know, I was in the camp that thought, really? This, you're going to make a big deal out of the, you know, the barrel and the old dude sitting there on the chair? Well, apparently people did, and they didn't like it. And I know there's more to it with the rebranding and the restaurants are going to look different, but boy, this didn't take long to flip around, did it?
Wow.
No, it didn't, but, you know, don't be messing with our Cracker Barrel, man. That is something that's tradition. You go into that store, you feel like you're back in the 1980s and 90s. It's the nostalgia of it. And then they started showing mock-ups of painting it this vanilla white and yellow walls. And I'm going, no, quit messing with our Cracker Barrel. Leave that alone. That's one piece of culture in Americana we got to keep. They went back to the logo.
Listen to this. This is Harry Enten on CNN.
Democratic brand right now has about the appeal with the American voter as the Cracker Barrel rebrand has with the American consumers. Bad, bad, bad.
Yeah, so no more. And, you know, when Lemonis was this guy, and he's involved, I think, with Bed Bath & Beyond, and he's the guy that sent the memo to California saying, look, there's too much crap out here. We can't deal with, you know, opening retail stores, so we're not going to do it in California. But what he said was he heaped praise on this young marketing executive and said she's very, very smart. I think he knew her a little bit, and I don't know if he had inside information, but he was pretty definitive in his prediction. He goes, they're going to flip this around, maybe even today. So I don't know if there was insider information, but in fact, they appeared to have done what the country has demanded here this afternoon, George. So good for Cracker Barrel,
that's
right?
Great.
That's right. All right.
I appreciate it. I'm glad they did it.
Happy to break the story with you live here on 97.1 FM Talk. George Rosenthal, always great to have you on. I appreciate it.
Thanks so take much. Care. Always great talking to you
all
guys.
All right, we'll see you. How about that, Sue? That did not take long at all. Wow, is right. I'm just trying to see if there's anything else on here that's new. No, I think they just did a flip-flop. And it's Chris.
What does it say? Is it like an official story that says, here's what?
Yeah, here's the company statement. That's what I was looking for. Brett Baer just tweeted this out. Cracker Barrel is going back to the old logo. Company statement. We thank our guests for sharing your voices and love for Cracker Barrel. We said we would listen, and we have. Our new logo is going away, and our old timer will remain. At Cracker Barrel, it's always been and always will be about serving up delicious food, warm welcomes, and the kind of country hospitality that feels like a family. As a proud American institution, our 70,000 hardworking employees look forward to welcoming you to our table soon. I'll be very curious to see how much business, because I think they're going to get a lot of business out of this now that they flipped it back.
Probably.
But that's fact. These marketing stories are so fascinating, aren't they? From everything with Dylan Mulvaney and Bud Light. And you do make mistakes every once in a while. Just ask Coca-Cola from the 1980s, right?
Yeah.
All right, well, the big story of the afternoon is Cracker Barrel has switched back to their traditional logo. That story just literally broke a couple of minutes ago. I have audio cut of the day coming up. I was going to do a little Travis and Tay-Tay because of the news today. Ethan, where is the, what's the cut labeled from the comedian? Because I wanted to play that.
The comedian?
The video that I sent earlier with the guy that was talking about Taylor Swift. Wasn't there something?
Let me go throw it in there real quick. I got to throw it in
did
there.
Did you pull it?
Yeah, it's pulled.
Okay,
I just got to
go ahead and bring it over, and I'm going to do this because I think it'll play into it.
Stand by. Play back.
Mac ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Yeah, well, the big news today is Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce announcing their engagement. So the interwebs were going crazy with that. I did open the show saying I was going to only talk about two things today. Cracker Barrel logo and Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. We didn't quite meet the moment
That's
on that
good.
Promise. Plus, I was That's being, good. You know, sarcastic at the time. But look, even President Trump was asked about this today and wished them good luck. Even you said nice things about Tay-Tay, I think.
Well, I wish him a lot of love. I think it's. I think he's a great player. I think he's a great guy. And I think that she's a terrific person. So I wish them a lot of love.
I think that was very nice of them, and that I think they're going to be, well, maybe they'll be happy, because honest to God, the two biggest stories were, with all these important things that are going on in the world, the two biggest stories were them and their engagement, and the way that that blew up Twitter was, I think Cassie Smedley, one of our guests today, said she had to take a step away from it. And then this guy, I don't know if we're going to have time to do this, but there's a guy by the name of Joey Molinaro, and apparently he's pretty good at doing celebrity impersonations. And he did, David Klein, producer emeritus, sent this to me a little earlier. He imagined in his, you know, comedic way, Patrick Mahomes' speech at the Swift Kelce wedding, and apparently it was pretty good. I don't have it to play for you because Ethan didn't put it in, but apparently it was pretty funny, so I can't use that for audio cut of the day. But look, I think it is, she wrote the song Love Story. I think it's a pretty interesting love story, especially the way that they met. Here's, you know, Tay-Tay talking about this on the podcast last week.
He's truly getting to know me in a way that's very natural, very pure, very normal. Like, also, like, just the way that he could make me laugh so immediately about normal things. Travis is like, he's just a vibe booster in everyone's life that he's in. He's like a human exclamation point. This podcast got me a boyfriend. Ever since Travis decided to use it as his personal dating app about 2 years ago. So
worked pretty good.
Yeah. Hey.
Were his friendship bracelets that good? Did you give the friendship bracelets, or was that just on the podcast? Like,
I've never seen
yeah,
the original.
They didn't leave the stadium because I was butthurt, Jason.
He threw a tantrum.
I think they're kind of a cute couple, and I can appreciate that. And there's going to be a lot of discussion, certainly, before that wedding. We'll go out with a little Tay-Tay here. Sue, we'll talk tomorrow. I think we got Kilmeade on the show tomorrow. We'll talk to you at 3 o'clock.
You got it.
All right, we'll see you.
Get more at 971talk.com.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAF Giving 360. Learn more at dafgiving360.org.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.